Welcome to New Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on cybersecurity and the local Colorado economy, focused on cybersecurity industry growth and initiatives that support cybersecurity economics. We hope this special series on blockchain builds your excitement for a possible future which empowers individual privacy. Please follow and participate as New Cyber Frontier is supporting a grassroots community effort to empower the individual in the digital age. Check out privacyforthepeople.org to see the upcoming crowdfunding campaign. Now sit back and enjoy as we introduce our great guest for today's show. Welcome to today's episode of New Cyber Frontier. On our blockchain series, continuing today, we're talking to Joel Neidig, who is the CEO of Simba Chain. Joel, welcome today. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're not in prison there or anything, right?
No,
you got
not.
That orange-looking blank in the background. I just wanted to make sure.
I'm in a co-location place, and there's a closed-room sound booth I can be in for.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. You know, somebody on a jumpsuit with a prison number, right? Joining the show, right?
True crypto fashion.
There you go. Yeah. We know you're serious about it at that point, right? Yeah. So, Joel, thanks for joining today. Simba Chain, I would like to know your background. Tell everybody how you got to where you're at first and what your passion is in what you're doing and just in life in general.
Sure. Yeah. So, I graduated college as operations management and a business major and minored in computer science, and I was always fascinated with manufacturing technology and marrying that up with kind of before the Internet of Things really came out. I got really excited into getting into national standards because I thought that would that's really how you propel things to move forward in a fast way by getting lots of people coming together and developing standards. So I got involved in a protocol that was an IoT protocol called MT Connect, and it's a machine-to-machine communication protocol. Just started writing, writing some sample applications to that. Got involved in the working groups and became part of the technical advisory group for that group. And it's deployed in hundreds of thousands of pieces of equipment now.
Interesting. So, coming into being a CEO of Simba Chain, talk about how you moved into that and what your entrepreneurial desires are.
Sure. Yeah. So I'm a co-founder of multiple startups, and Simba started from the fact that I got together with some professors at the University of Notre Dame, mm-hmm. and we wrote a proposal to DARPA for doing blockchain on secure messaging, and we ended up winning that proposal, and that kind of kickstarted our company. Since then we've just kind of, we thought, hey, this has been very difficult to, build blockchain applications, when you're dealing with Ethereum and Web3 and Etherscan or, all these different Solidity, we're like, this has to be an easier way for people that are non-blockchain programmers that want to, harness the power. Maybe they want to develop an iOS or Android application. And so, but uses blockchain as a backend. And so, that's what we started building the company to do.
Okay, and tell me about what your features are that help support that.
Sure, yeah. So we have an auto-generated API, so an application programming interface that is customized for each user's smart contract. So when they go on our platform, they actually don't even have to know how to write Solidity, which is the programming language for Ethereum, mm-hmm. for the Ethereum virtual machines. They can then generate that by just defining their assets and transactions on we have basically a easy GUI, and it actually graphs it out like Visio. Mm-hmm. So if you're familiar with Microsoft Visio, it graphs it out in an easy user-friendly way to track, to see how that smart contract would interact with itself. And then from those method calls on the smart contract, we then generate our API endpoints. And those API endpoints, then they can program iOS applications or Android applications or web applications. We have tons of templates out there that already ready to go, prepackaged for people to build their first blockchain application.
Yeah. So we used a lot of acronyms in, API application programming interface. That's the software communication package, IoT, Internet of Things. Some that I remember you saying.
Right.
We're going to take a break here. Hear from our sponsor. We'll be right back in a minute. We'll talk a little bit more about your background.
Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
Welcome back to New Cyber Frontier. Today, talking to Joel Nettig from the CEO of Simba Chain. Before the break, you were talking about your background, and you had mentioned, I remember we've talked about this before, but you worked with NIST and IoT standards and everything. A couple years ago, I spent some time, quite a few years actually, from Trusted Computing Group, working with the Smart Grid Interoperability Panel before IoT was the buzzword, contributing to a lot of those standard type of discussions and documents that come out of NIST. And my impression was, you know, we spent, as a group, 5 years. I spent a man year of my time, and I did something that one person, you know, the whole group put something together that one person could have made in 3 months. What's your thoughts on the validity, waste of time, direction of these standards groups and what you have to do to contribute?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times in standards committees, you argue over, like, the word, right? Either the definition of the word and things like that. But I think it's very important to define those items because, especially from the industry I came from, the manufacturing industry, it's really difficult to define when a piece of equipment was fully being utilized or under being utilized, or how do you say it's in cycle or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so defining those parameters, because there's so many different states of a piece of equipment. And so the particular standard I was involved in was MT Connect, and working a lot with NIST. You know, NIST is a big proponent of MT Connect because it's really standardizing a common data dictionary of what these terms mean. And so when you see that term in the protocol, whether it's like, yes, this machine state is on, that is on for, it doesn't matter if it's a, you know, a machining center or if it's a, you know, a smaller piece of equipment like a lathe that is, mm-hmm. is running. It means the same kind of state. So defining state and these different things, but yeah, I mean, it can get pretty heady with some different, you know, different personalities in the standards committees. Everybody thinks they're right. But I think having these different groups come together, especially MT Connect's really cool because there was a ton of software engineers and old-time machinists and different people coming together, and also, you know, public-private partnerships coming together to build that standard.
Yeah, definitely gets you connected into seeing who's out there, what companies are involved, and, you know, what their desires and their positions are in with the technology industry. Right. But getting those definitions, I guess I could kind of agree with, see that. Your blockchain, and you're looking at several different types, APIs, your focus, making it easier for people to use. So much buzz around blockchain lately, and what is it? People, 90% of the people I talk to view it as, oh, it's a cryptocurrency, it's Bitcoin, it's a banking thing, it's a way to exchange money. How do you, when you talk to people, introduce that, hey, here's what blockchain is, here's, and I like to call it distributed ledger instead of blockchain, but here's how I would simplify it, but yet not push it into the Bitcoin arena?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, and yeah, like you said, I mean, the first great use case of blockchain was cryptocurrency, which made a lot of sense to move money in a untraditional way. but in a digital way, which we all live in, right? So we're all constantly moving fast, and the world is getting smaller by us being able to do this kind of financial transaction. But from a data sharing perspective, things have been extremely centralized, as we all know from these current data breaches. I mean,
explain what you mean by centralized.
Yeah, centralized, it means that everything is stored in one database, and centralized database, and it's too tempting to attack, right?
So you have, it's owned and controlled by a company.
Exactly, right. So you have an Equifax, which has hundreds of millions. I mean, everybody was affected. If you had a mortgage, you probably got affected. And you can, you know, go online today and try and get the, you know, be part of the class action lawsuit and get your $125. But I think, you know, that is just too tempting for a hacker to attack. And so blockchain allows for an extremely distributed, decentralized way of sharing information, which means I hold the keys to my information. There's not a centralized, you know, company that's holding all my information and everything. I share it with who I want and when I want, and only when I want. And that's really where, you know, we can get into public, you know, your public key and your private key and how that gets done. But that's what blockchain does. And that, you know, for these machines to become in consensus, they all have to agree upon what the information is and what gets added to the blockchain. Mm-hmm. We're a centralized data system. Anybody, an admin or a hacker, if they had the private key or if they had the access to the password to that database, they can go and hack that, leave no trace. Nobody knows the data was even changed because they tracked it. Mm-hmm. With blockchain, all these machines that are recording all this information have to become in consensus. If one breaks out a line based on, you know, it's a timestamp and a there's proof of work and proof of stake, we can get into different consensus algorithms, but those all have to become an agreement. If it's not an agreement, then it gets thrown out. And so, you know, what data is correct and how things can be, you know, more protected in a decentralized way, as opposed to, you know, a centralized environment that we currently live in.
So if you look at the blockchain, though, or in almost all of them out there, whatever gets put on them, anybody can see. So if you're holding your information and you're saying you want to control your information, keep it private, everybody can see it. How do you explain that one?
Yeah, so what we do at Simba is we do a thing called off-chaining. And so you can have a transaction between two individuals on-chain, but then the actual information, like maybe my driver's license or my passport information, or maybe there's some mortgage information that I'm storing, that's then stored in an off-chain file system that's then encrypted by me again. And so now we're able to share the information really easily on-chain, but then have this off-chain distributed file storage. And people, you can research this too. I don't know if we'll have time to get into the podcast, but there's IPFS, which is the Interplanetary File System. And that's one of the off-chaining distributed file system storage capabilities that we also have bindings to on our platform that people can, you know, harness the power of.
So you use IPFS entirely, or do you have other types?
We can use Azure Blob Storage. So mm-hmm. People are familiar with that. If you're using Azure, we also have Ceph, which is a Red Hat, now IBM, open source distributed file storage system. And we also support Tahoe Laughs, which is another open source community driven file system.
Okay. And these are all just ways to store data and link to where it's at.
So you don't have to distributed
have, you don't have, so to have not copies everywhere.
Yep. It's decentralized.
Gotcha. Interesting. So as far as, I just lost my train of thought. I'm reading some of my notes here.
I mean, I can talk about some of the blockchains we do support.
Yeah. I know you guys are a little bit of blockchain agnostic and working on supporting different ones. Which ones do you work with?
So right now we support Ethereum, Quorum, which is JP Morgan's one they've open sourced. Mm-hmm. And then we also work with Stellar. We support Stellar. And those smart contracts are different. So Ethereum and Quorum smart contracts are a lot of the same because it's written in Solidity. Mm-hmm. But the Stellar is a little different. And so our auto generator generates into that language. And so we'll be our smart contract generation tools will be using JavaScript and other thing, you know, Go, some other programming languages in the future. And as we go to support like things like RSK, which is Rootstock, which is a smart Bitcoin, and it allows you to do smart contracts on a Bitcoin network.
Interesting. Well, let's take a break here from our sponsor. We'll be right back in a minute to talk to Joel Nettig some more about SimbaChain.
Security Services are your cybersecurity experts with decades of experience providing professional training services for our clients in various industries. We offer professional training and certification in areas of cybersecurity, safety, health, and environmental services at our academy. Our in-person and online training provides a collaborative environment where students can interact directly with instructors through live chats or in private classrooms. Visit MurraySecurityServices.com for more information.
Welcome back to New Cyber Frontier. On today, talking with Joel Nettig, the CEO of SimbaChain. And before the break, you were talking about a lot of the change support. So many people I hear of in development are looking at being blockchain agnostic because there's a lot of design limitations to current implementations, applications of blockchain. What do you see as the future of, you know, just where this technology first, we'll talk about industry later, but where is this technology heading? What are the design limitations that you see that we just have to figure out a way to either work around or move past?
Sure. Yeah. And there's a lot of companies working on this, like Quant and Cosmos. They are looking at, you know, Quant's got Overledger, which supports Ethereum, Corda, Quorum, Ripple, and Hyperledger. And then Cosmos, you know, is looking at, and there's Polkadot too. So there's a lot of these are working for multi-chain, and that's where we're coming at. But Simba comes at it from more of like an API level. So we're a little higher on the stack. Mm-hmm. We're kind of more to the, where you're developing right to an iOS or, like I said, a mobile device or a web interface. And, so we would essentially support their protocols on our platform as another option, and then you could go into other chains from there. Mm-hmm. But I think it's definitely multi-chain because each blockchain provides a different kind of capability. Like Stellar, from a financial transaction, it's really fast and it's really focused on that, but it's not really geared towards supply chain where you're maybe sharing digital files, you know, a digital representation of a physical item, like a digital twin. That's a buzzword now these days. That's a lot being used in the supply chain area. And so being able to have validation and verification of those items, that's where blockchain comes in. It's such a key to being used. And so mm-hmm. we're seeing a combination of these blockchains together. So one you may use for financial transactions and then one used for the actual data transactions.
Yeah. What kind of things are just, you know, almost, what's your biggest headache? What's the showstoppers that keep you saying, we just have to either solve this or find a way around it?
Yeah, I think, you know, there is a ton of groups out there. You know, the open source community is trying to come together to work on the scalability issue. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're either, and sometimes this, like you said, standards committees, it gets lost in the mud because people are trying to, you know, to fix these issues. But, you know, scalability is definitely one issue. We kind of are not really focused on that because we're just looking at being agnostic and supporting these different chains that come up with those solutions. So mm-hmm. we're really trying to be a solution provider for people that want to build the applications. And then we'll let these other groups worry about the scalability or the speed of transactions. And And then the other thing is that, you know, things are changing all the time from a development standpoint, like Solidity code is updating. So supporting the latest versions of that. These other chains are changing, you know, what smart contract language they may be supporting and different things like that. A nice thing about some of them, like EOS and these other ones, are supporting WebAssembly. And so there's a common interface that most developers are familiar with, from that programming perspective. So it's what a lot of the web is built on. And so I think, you know, that's very helpful. But yeah, I think there's a couple issues. I mean, as far as scalability and some other things that will definitely work out. I mean, when the internet came out, everybody was like, oh, it'll crash. You know, you add 4 servers to the internet, it'll crash. It won't be able to. And then, you know, they figured it out. Uh-huh. So it's like, it's only a matter of time before this technology, things evolve so fast and things get worked out.
Gotcha. So where do you see this industry going? I mean, obviously it's bleeding edge. Other people I've talked to said, you know, probably their biggest headache is the platforms that are out there change so much that one revision won't work. The new revision won't work with my old code. So the bleeding edge becomes their biggest headache. Where do you think this is going as a business? Is it the answer to everything? You hear, oh, blockchain's going to be the answer to so many things. Is it really? Or is that buzz, hype? What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think it's the answer to everything. But I think when you're looking at, the general data protection regulation that the EU has put out, and I'm sure the US is going to be shortly behind them soon on some of that stuff. I mean, you can already see with all the data leaks of Capital One, just had a major hack as well. So when hundreds of millions of users are being hacked all the time, there's got to be a new resolution to how this stuff is being centrally stored. And I think definitely that's kind of where things will grow. If you're a small company or whatever, and you just need a database or something like that, I mean, this is not a replacement for a database. This is a replacement for sharing data across multiple entities with multiple actors that may not trust each other. Mm-hmm. So it's really a trust, building a trustless system and having an audit trail, because that's what blockchain is. It's a digital ledger that everybody can audit and has verification. These our current systems that we traditional legacy systems that we use, we don't have that capability. And that's kind of the benefits that blockchain brings.
Yeah. So when you talk about bringing multiple organizations together, hundreds, whole industries,
right?
It seems like the biggest, restriction to growing is kind of what you were saying with the conversations at NIST, working right. groups, is getting everybody to want to be on the same platform, the same connection. Right. How do you handle when we're looking at technology development? We're like, yeah, the technology is great. We can do this. But how do you do the community aspect, bringing them together?
Yeah, and that's where we just launched this at Microsoft Inspire, which is our largest partnership conference, and it's a smart contract as a service that's on their Azure Marketplace, and it's a consortium built, basically enables consortiums to join, so somebody could spin up multiple nodes of a quorum network, a blockchain quorum network, and they can invite different consortium members to join that network. And so now you can see like an automotive supplier that has multiple tiers of suppliers and maybe 3PLs, so that's like third-party logistics providers, all join this network that can now lower the cost of their transactions by having more of a shared network. And now we have some traceability. So especially in the aerospace and biomedical industries, they are highly regulated by the biomedical from FDA's perspective, and then mm-hmm. aerospace by the AS9100. But you have so much more capability on traceability and not having paper trail, not having to have all this paper documentation. You can have a digital representation. And by the way, Symba allows you to search the blockchain rather easily too. You can easily find out where the effective components might be, You could have recall, you know, from an automotive perspective, recalls would be a lot simpler and faster, and people get refunded immediately because they could have wallets that are on the chain that would be connected with a VIN number of a vehicle that would automatically get the refund or be notified to pay their nearest dealer to get the, you know, the Takata airbag replaced, you know, that's a potential hazard or something like that. So all these things could happen more in real time, which is how we currently live our lives anyway. And I think that's kind of the future that's going to take place.
Yeah, I hear, and you know, in our conversation and so many like this, the pie in the sky, oh, this is going to be great. It's going to be, but the implementation, right, the making it happen, that getting multiple parties on board seems like it's going to be a critical mass, you know, limitation to the adoption.
I think it's top down. I think you definitely have to start with some large, like a lot of ours, customers from a large enterprise side, and then looking at it from, we have DOD as well, so Navy, some government customers that are driving that down to like the Boeings or the Lockheed Martins and things like that.
So you think it's going to be required by,
right,
the standards bodies to push down to,
and you can already see this by
involved.
Right, and you can already see this by like Walmart when they had their you know, the Listeria outbreak or whatever on, mm-hmm, I forget what it was, but some type of vegetable that, and now they're requiring all their supply chain, if you're going to sell lettuce or whatever to us, you have to be on our blockchain. Mm-hmm. And so it's a really top-down driven, so that they can only have to adjudicate or try to trace back where this stuff came from. They can immediately know what supplier it came from. They can even go down to like the farm of where it came from, and things like that.
I hadn't heard an update from Walmart. Is their blockchain up and running? Last I heard, it was just a news announcement and a pie in the sky future thing.
Yeah, I just know it's like, it's one of those standards requirements, you know, almost like getting in the ISO or something like that. If you want to do business, it's a requirement of, or like, you know, you're doing business with the government, you have to have a, you know, an audit into your accounting system or things like that. So I think that's where they're going. I'm not sure how fully piloted and tested it is yet, but I know you can already see on the horizon that these are requirements that are coming out.
Gotcha. All right. Well, so kind of in closing here, let me know what is it that your company's looking for? What do you need? What can what engagement do you need from our listener base? What, you know, just anything you want to put out more pertinent to, you know, what you're doing and what your needs are.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, stop by simbachain.com. We're on, you know, all the different social media platforms. We'd love to hear feedback on our platform. It's free to log in, and you can build your own blockchain application for free. We continue to grow our user base and are excited to get more feedback just from all the community. But we can roll up into an enterprise level if you want to go into Azure or something like that. But we do have a standard SaaS offer.
All right. Well, thanks for joining today. We definitely appreciate hearing from you and kind of continuing this series on blockchain and finding out the art of the possible, bringing in different voices to say, hey, this is something that we can see you're excited about it. So there must be something that we can ascertain from that this is a great, maybe even a new frontier, a new world to look into. But thanks a lot for joining today, Joel.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, bye.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember, please follow and participate as New Cyber Frontier is supporting a grassroots community effort to empower the individual in the digital age. Check it out at privacyforthepeople.org. Also, make sure to join our mailing list so we can keep you informed. If you have an idea, if you have a question you would like to hear answered, or if you just want to get involved in what we're doing, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links because they are the ones that really make this show possible. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.